Hello and welcome to the Film Ireland podcast. I'm Gemma Cray. Ray Gunn, the award-winning creative post-production house, have just appointed Leandro Roca as their colourist. We're chatting with Leandro today about all things grading.
So, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure.
Can you first introduce yourself and explain your role as a colourist in the film industry?
My name is Leandro Roca. I'm Brazilian. I've been living in Ireland for a few years now. And yeah, colorist role is basically you're helping and collaborating with the director and cinematographer mainly to create a look for a film and to bring a mood to a film as well. So in that sense, you're going to tone the film to whatever they desired to go to. And yeah, that's the main idea of it.
What led you to working in Ray Gunn?
Yeah, so it was lovely. Like I met Kira Walsh, the head of facilities, and Steve Meyer, sound engineer and senior sound engineer. And we just clicked. It was great. Like we were chatting about the work and work that we've worked together in a sense, because I was doing the grade and they were doing the sound for the project. So it was so good in a way we had worked together before. And when they approached me, it was just brilliant. We were chatting and the respect they have for clients and how Ray Gunn works as well. I was super happy with the idea of having the new grading suite that we put up. So that was very important. And the collaboration with sound, because that for me is something that's essential, like in grading as well. Like I think it's an opportunity when I can actually participate and watch the guys, the sound team working, prepping a pre-mix or sound design. And I can also have maybe the premix even before I finish the grade. So I can start toning the grades as well to whatever mood they're going for. And vice versa, I supply them the graded pictures. So then they can have in the sound studios the graded pictures. And that will help blend the two worlds, you know, like it helps blending sounds and color. And that for me is essential. Like it's an essential part of the job. And yeah, it's lovely. Like, and there's like a really nice vibe in the building. The people here are really lovely. And there's also the opportunity of growth, you know, like, so it's, yeah, it was very interesting. I'm very happy.
What is growth? So if you were a grader, what would be sort of the next step in your career? Would you go into more detail focused things? Management?
Yeah, no, I've done look, the fun thing about being a colorist is for sure you're going to be working in many different projects, like feature films, documentaries, series, commercials and music videos. Like so it's so much fun and you have so much to explore as well. So I think what's great is the being able to work in more long form stuff as well. So commercials, like, so there's that in place for me, you know, like I think my goal is just to get more of this kind of work, like just going forward with feature films and series and documentaries, because as well, the documentaries, they are becoming much more cinematic, as we all know. There was like a really nice change with the digital era, of course, cameras being becoming cheaper as well to rent and lenses. So that gave like documentaries a completely new aspect to it. And yeah, it's been great, you know, like I think, yeah, for sure, that's my goal, you know, to keep moving forward that direction.
And doing kind of more in detail, kind of longer form projects. What does the process entail? What would a job look like? Would you come on after it's picture locked and start working away? Or is this something that you'd very much so do in collaboration with the director or DOP as you go? When and how long would it take to say grade a short film versus a feature documentary?
Yeah, that's fair. So, what happens is the director, cinematographer, art director as well, like just say that, because those three are the main people that are going to be prepping the image and the colors. Will get a better result if with that combination of talents. So what happens is they normally have their mood boards that they prepped as a pre-production stage, and they went through some references, some films that they like, you know, and they wanted to achieve a certain look, and they come with that for the grading session. Sometimes they send me something beforehand so I can at least prep for the grade, and sometimes not. Sometimes they just ask me to try something new, or they like my approach to a certain work that I've done and they like to go in that direction as well. So yeah, that's where collaboration goes. Sometimes they bring the mood boards, but then we start chatting in the room and then we have more ideas and then we start getting excited with the work itself, because that for me is just lovely. As soon as I receive the footage, the flat footage, so without any colors applied to it, I just pleased, you know, like I love starting from scratch and just seeing something new. And it's always something new. That's what's fun about it, you know. You're never going to be, it's always a different light, a different camera with different lenses, different people that worked in the project. So all that mixture creates a different thing. And that's going to be different to grade in a way, you know, like you're always going to be working from something new every time, you know, like it's challenging and fun, you know, at the same time, you're like having a lot of fun. And then what happens is that it's like the director in the room or the DP, we are discussing things and then we start, okay, we started with that reference, but then there's also this direction and we start deviating a little bit and then the film gets its own look. And that's why it's great, you know. Although you have references, you not necessarily need to, you don't need to be so thorough in that regard, you know, because you're not going to have the same exactly setup as a feature film that was recorded like a few years ago or something. Like, it's not going to be that spot on, you know, like it's almost impossible. So I think it's always great to embrace those, but then go for what that new film has it, you know.
What kind of footage? So you're saying like the way it's shot is specifically designed to be graded. Has there ever been footage that has come to you and you're like, oh God, this is going to be very difficult to work with? Or what are mistakes people maybe might make that they don't realize that will come to your door that you sort of have to fix then?
There's some situations for sure. Like, I think there's one thing that's quite interesting to be fair, like because working in Brazil, the light is different. So in Ireland, the weather shifts a lot, as you know. So that becomes an issue when a person is being recorded. If it's a documentary or an interview, the light is going to be shifting. And then you have clouds and then you have sunlight and then it starts raining. And so you have so many things that can happen. So that's the challenge for the colorist for sure, is balancing all those shots, you know, and matching all of them as best as possible to the look that you're going for. Sometimes as well, when you have some elements in frame, you know, that the person wants to diminish, like, so they prefer reducing the color of some elements that shouldn't be there, or combining the work with a VFX artist that is doing some cleanups or something. So, a bit of the image might be a bit soft depending on if the way it was shot, or that was the best take because of the acting, and that's always the best for sure, to go for the best acting. So they had to keep that shot in it, but then you have the challenge to just make it look nicer and then to again matching to the other shots. So yeah, grading is basically that. You go for a look, you establish the look of a shot, and then you're going to match everything else to that. So, or scene by scene. So you're going to work in a scene that scene has a particular color palette or look, and then you match all those shots inside that scene, you know. So it's, yeah, that's the way it does happen.
Interesting. And tell me about the software that you use for this. And
oh yeah,
how has that changed over the years, or has there been kind of new technologies brought in?
Oh yes, a lot. So color grading for sure was a massive shift, like in the past 5 years, definitely. Like when I started in a software called Assimilate Scratch, then Luster, and now DaVinci Resolve. So I use Resolve now. And Resolve became like one of the main softwares for colors because it's just so good to use. So flexible as well. Like, and you can combine a lot of color space conversions. Like, you have so many things that you can do in that software. And yeah, so that's my preference. And yeah, it was so good because when I was in Brazil as well, the working with the other softwares there, they were excellent applications, and I could learn because I was working at Post House that was quite big, and there were other artists there as well working, and it was so good to understand, okay, this software is capable of doing that best, and then Luster would do another thing best. And what was great with DaVinci, I think the engineers, what they did was they borrowed ideas from all of these softwares. And then they created something that was kind of combining as much as possible. So that's why I think DaVinci kind of took over, like worldwide, you know.
Wow. And with regards to workflow, so do you just get a layered file? What do you kind of get? How do you input it? What do you export it as? Are there other people working on similar projects at the same time that they all feed in different things? You were saying, like, you know, probably, you know, if you have a deadline for a film, your sound mixer is doing something in a different room at the same time, and then you get it, or are you brought usually along at a stage in the process and left alone and then output it?
Yeah, that's it's so interesting because it goes project by project. And I think in regards with sounds, I think the guy, like we do the work like separately, of course, like we have our own time to work on things. So with a feature film, of course, because it takes longer. Yeah, so a feature film can take like up to 10 days grading or more if the feature has more specific things to be done. And if it has more VFX as well, or it can take less because some features are so brilliantly shot and they're drama, like they don't have too many other things happening. It can be done in less time. And sound takes a little bit longer for sure, like because there are layers and layers to go through it. So then what happens is, yeah, for me, I'm always eager to listening to some of the sounds. So sometimes I can just go there, have a quick look at things, and then if possible I can get the pre-mix from the guys. And then again, but if I'm doing like a commercial, for instance, that's interesting because commercial is like a day, you know, like there's no, sometimes 4 hours, 2 hours, depending on the project. People are very specific and they're like, no, we want this amount of time. And then yeah, then the challenge is bigger in a sense, because then you're like, you have to work faster and I will have more people in the room. So with a feature, you have the director comes in, have a chat, go through some looks with cinematographer, then you end up working like a few days, then they come back. With advertising, sometimes I receive the footage in the same day the DP is coming in or the director, and then I have the agency in the afternoon, and then the client comes in, and then it's all done in a day. And you have people in the room give you inputs from different aspects of the image. So yeah, that's a challenge as a colorist for sure. Like it's really interesting. I do enjoy a lot. That's why I said, like, look, I enjoy all these different projects. Like music videos are really much fun because you end up having a freedom as well in those. You can
probably, there's not as much money on the line, so there is that freedom that you're not, like, I presume that there's like that hierarchy of that, you know, advertising takes priority and everything else is dropped on a lower budget local feature, or like you'll have more money but then not as much money as advertising, and then a short film is probably the least amount, but you take it when, I don't know, like, do you guys do that? Like, is a sliding scale, maybe do kind of smaller projects but you can fit them in when you can?
Yeah, that's the idea. Like, because we do, like, see, what I liked in Raygun for sure, like, was just that idea of, like, look, we like the people that are working in those projects. We like the projects. So we always take care in being very careful, like, looking at the whole aspects of a project or who is working that short film or who is doing that music video. And, like, just trying helping them as well, like helping everybody, because I think it's just that situation where we all go along, you know, like, and I love working with people, and I do enjoy like that experience. I respect a lot their work, you know, producers work as well, you know, like, it's so much effort, like, it's crazy. Sometimes you have a short film being shot like in 2 years time, because it was only the time that they could afford shooting something, and then to maybe do a pickup or something that they needed to for the edits. So yeah, you can tell, like, it's just a very intense process, and it's very interesting because in grading you're the last part for the picture, you know, like, you're in the last, at the end of the process, and you want people to feel comfortable, like, you definitely want to give them your best so the film can look great. And I think, yeah, like, it's so good, like, to with everybody that have been working here in Ireland as well, like, there's so many talented people. Like, I was very impressed when I came here and I started working. I worked a lot of with the young directors in Ireland, like, in DPs as well, cinematographers. So they are super talented, like, acting superb in Ireland. So yeah, it's brilliant, like, being an English speaking country, that definitely makes a massive difference. And yeah, I was always very pleased. Like, I think yeah, I learned a lot, like, I think just from that move from Brazil to Ireland, you know, because it's even like even the way it's shot, you know, like, there's a difference. There's a different eye, you know, like, I think that's one thing that for me, I tend to tell people, like, look, I'm from Brazil. I'm always going to have a different way to see something. Like, it's just from us, from having a different background in life, from who we learned, what we learned, you know, like, I have my ways to do things. Like, I have a way that I work that I'm very comfortable. And I think, it's very interesting. That's the idea. Like, every person has its own taste, its own way to collaborate, you know.
And definitely, I think in Ireland we're very lucky. We were punching way above our weight in terms of our output. Like, if you look at our top tier people in all the fields, and like directing, we have people on Handmaid's Tale, Vikings. I mean, Vikings is here. Yes. Like, we've just seemed to have been doing, considering how absolutely tiny we are as a country, we are doing very well. But I will say, I, you're the country of like telenovelas and stuff. Like, they're like a $1 billion industry that aren't doing too much, that aren't doing too shabby fiscally wise themselves, and are exported and are super popular. I don't know. I think there's always like time for celebrating like different art forms, and things are delivered in a different way, but they're very, I don't know, they have their own styles and techniques. And I think that's very interesting.
It's super. I worked with like some really top cinematographers in Brazil. Cesar Charlon, the cinematographer from City of God, he's one of the guys that I worked like a good few times, like in commercials as well. And yeah, I learned a lot from just that, just from him, you know, just from going through whatever he wants in an image and the challenge of achieving what he wanted to achieve. But again, he's such a lovely person. Like, he's so talented. Like, he did so many brilliant films, like Two Popes, Blindness. Like, so it was so good. Like, he was always like a person to aspire to work with, because again, like it's super talented, like Adriano Goldman as well, like it's another major like cinematographer Brazilian. So yeah, that's what it is, you know, you end up absorbing knowledge as soon as you have the person in the room. And yeah, in a way they are guiding you, but it's fun. It's a fun moment when you surprise them. Like there is always that moment, because it's interesting when we're speaking about the technology and how technology is changing, increasing. So like it's much fun how film looks are something that's is here and people love, and we all love film. So I super enjoy working projects that are shot on film as well. But also in the digital, because then we have all that in place. Sometimes we have a mixed footage in the same project. So they shot some shots in film, some shots with Arri Alexa, and some other shots in Sony. So you do need to bring all this together and make all of them work as in matching for a look, you know.
What are the technical difficulties then, or the issues that might arise from that, that you, or challenges rather than that?
I know for sure, like look, because it really depends. So there's so many variations, like with film is just the film stock, so the palettes of the colors for that film, it's going to be different from what Alexa, what Arri does it like and has as color space. And then Sony again, Sony.
And can you tell a camera, like obviously film and digital, but could you tell digital camera footage from the camera by looking at it at this stage?
Yeah, you can guess, but it is interesting because being a colorist, you're trying to make all of them work together and look seamlessly, like look as the same, you know. So the thing is, you it's impressive when you do some work that people really get confused and they are like, oh, that was shot in Alexa, and then you're like, no, that's a Sony F5, you know, completely different camera, and you could bring something that really makes it look like film, even because it's all about texture as well. Like you're bringing texture to the image. It's such a fun job, like I do enjoy because of that, because you not only have contrast, colors, but you also have texture to work from. And then with the increase of technology, then you can combine everything together. Like it's just like it can be too big sometimes for somebody that's learning, you know, that's starting. But with time, you end up learning how to manage those and how to play with those combinations. Because I know it's very specific, so it's kind of a technically it's really hard to explain without showing the image, you know. But that's what it is. It's like a combination of all these elements. And that's why each piece is going to have its particular look. Because it's just like, look, imagine all that combined with camera lenses, the choice of lenses, choice of camera, art direction, production design. So it's brilliant. And the light of the scene, because that's essentially is the most important, one of the most important aspects, is just the way the cinematographer light scene, you know. And that's gonna give you definitely better results. Like it's gonna be, yeah, much, it is very pleasing. Like it's pleasing to see it. I think with time as a colorist, you learn, even when you look at a flat image as like a ungraded, you can tell already that looks really good, you know. So
and could you, like, I presume it because it's so collaborative and you are sort of working under the whim of the director, has there ever been like a sort of, I presume you just go, okay, it's your choice, but like have been a thing where you can see this potential in something and then someone's going with something really kind of wrong that you know, like instinctively is wrong, and you're like, oh, I'm going to try and tell you what you're not hearing it. And I, like, is that a case of you'll just make your case and let that person go, or would you like fight for it, or would you kind of go, okay, we'll have a chat with the DOP and we'll try and convince them or whatever? Like, how do you kind of negotiate those vague creative disagreements, or is it just you don't?
Yeah, no, look, it is that combination of factors. So if you know the cinematographer or the director for a while, then it's a different process. If it's the first time, then you're going to approach in a different way, you know. But again, I think because it's a collaboration, those talented people, they're very good at like letting you as well present something or come up with something. And if they don't like it, they're just going to say it. So they're like, oh, no, I'm not liking that direction. I don't want that much of a harshness in an image, or I need something more soft. So it's, yeah, it's very interesting. Like I normally like, in because I enjoy so much the process, I tend to have sessions that are very relaxed, you know, like I try bringing that to the grading session. So the director doesn't, even if it's a young director, first short or something, they need to feel comfortable and they need to know they are like a director is the person that has to have the last say, you know, to have their the to point to the director that the film should go to, you know. So I respect that a lot. I think it's important. So yeah, it's just a matter of like you show options and then you discuss and then you keep moving. Because again, that's another thing. So with a short film, you asked it before, the time is like, sometimes I have a day for a short film, sometimes I have 2 days, a bit more. So again, depends on the short, but it can be done, you know, it can be done in a day. Like, so having like really beautiful pictures, you go through the process smoothly. And yeah, it's just, it's magic. Like you're just, you get something done that you're like, man, you're so pleased. And it's nice when people have the great reaction. And yeah, I think that's lovely. Yeah.
And like, can you notice, can you date a project by a color grade? Like just if you're watching a film and you're like, that was 2007 because it was like blue and teal. Like, what is it? That teal and orange color?
Teal, do you know, and
like,
orange.
Like, are there things now that are a trend, that are a trend at the moment that everyone is going for, that will date projects to within?
It could. Yeah. Look, I think nowadays it's becoming much more, like you have much more options. So I don't think there will be really a trend like in some, I think a trend could be like, I think a trend could be like a film look. But then again, you're dealing with a digital camera and you're changing that in different ways. So it's not, it is a filmic look in the sense that you want to have something cinematic, but it's not a filmic look because it's not film. So if you're working in film, then okay, then it's something that has another texture and it's a different way to work grades, you know. But yeah, so I think the teal and orange, it was interesting because there was a moment where Hollywood, of course, films, they all have that and they still do that beautifully, you know. Like I enjoy all sorts of films. So for me, it's a pleasure. Like I enjoy watching like an action film or a very like interesting artistic film, you know, like it's the extremes, you know, like you see so much being done, you know, like I think it's just the amount of films being done and series, you know, increased so much. And I think all those combinations of like people that are working from different countries as well, like, you know, in a project. And I think that's always giving something different. Like I think there was a moment where I watched an interview. It was very interesting. It was a color scientist talking about the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because Tarantino had a very specific request. So he really wanted to have like a specific film look. And he was referencing to old school films, of course. Like, so it was very interesting. It's just like that's another layer that's happening in the industry, which is the color scientist role, because they always existed in the film industry, but then, like, I think nowadays they're returning, and they can do different things. You know, they are gonna go in much more of a mathematical level, you know, it's very specific, but it is very interesting. And that person was just basically explaining the challenge to work with Tarantino, you know, establishing what they wanted for the color space for the colorist that was working Once Upon a Time in Hollywood to to grade from there. Like, it's amazing. Like, it's a super interesting. So, yeah. And then, by the way, so then what happens is I saw a lot of colorists going that direction where it was like they're punching grade, they're punching saturation in a sense. So yeah, things started getting more saturated, like, because like everybody else was like, oh yeah, if Tarantino's doing that, you know, like you end up having like a freedom. I think Wes Anderson has always like something different in his films. Like, I think, I don't remember the name of the film, but the latest film that I think is launching soon, it has a lot of color, like tint, you know, like as in a film tint. So it so goes like in shadows, you know, in this kind of parts of the image, they get like a very strong color. So see, that's too much fun. It's just like you now you have that as well, that maybe a short film that's going to come in or a feature that I'm going to be grading or even a commercial music video, the person is going to have that as a reference. And that's what's really, really fun. They just bring those, or I can, or either I can present that and just say like, look, I think that's so good. I watch it like, I've done a recent project for Storylands, one of the Storylands this year.
Which and one?
It was Mia Mularkey's. Claire McCabe, Wrapped, isn't
it?
Oh, I
can't
wait to do it. I was so good. Yesterday we went to a screening of all their Storylands, and was really great. Like, it's lovely to watch it in the cinema, because it's just like, by all means, like it's the best way to watch like something that you worked on. And from sound perspective as well, with the whole Reagan team, of course, we went there. And yeah, it was so good, because with Mia, we were discussing the grades, and like with the cinematographer as well, Dave Greenan, he's absurdly talented. So it was so good. We were going through the looks and whatever we wanted as a mood for the shots. But then we had some influence from The Bear, from the series, because we watched it recently enough, and was something that we were like, yeah, that's so good. Let's just like see, there's sometimes some things that just pop like that, you know, and then you're like, okay, so let's just try that direction now, not the, or just for parts of the project as well. So yeah, it was brilliant. Like, I'm super proud. I think it looks amazing. Like, the Mia's superb director, Claire as well, and the cinematographer. So see, it's just lovely. Like, you have all that combination of talents, and like, I'm always pleased to work with people and whoever they're working with at the moment, you know, because then the director sometimes might work with another producer in another project, or somebody else, another cinematographer, and just seeing that combination as well, it's just like, oh, that director did that project with some people, that project with other people. And all those things, like, they make a difference, you know, like, so good.
That's wonderful. And like they are real up and coming talents that are like, I've keeping an eye out for, but like both of them, like Claire's sort of been attached to amazing, like some of the most amazing shorts that we've seen in the past couple of years. So like, delighted to see the Storyland is the next level. And then after that, sure, it's feature territory. Do you know, like then
I worked in Holy Island. So you spoke to the director, I think, so Claire produced that as well. Very good. No, it was lovely. Like, it was such a great film. Evan Barry shot it. He's spectacular DP again. So see, it's too many really talented people. And that was a black and white grade that we done for the film, shot on digital, but also had film footage in it. So it was like 16 mil footage that the director had some footage from his own family. Like, it was amazing. It was such a high point in the film as well. So it was really, and they shot some scenes in film as well. So it was really, really good. See, it was like the challenge in the grade was that you're going from black and white to a colored film footage. So it wasn't black and white. And we had to balance that combination, seeing what was going to look best and how much of skin tones as well to be seen, like in the film, because when you have a black and white image, things change. It's always beautiful. I love black and white. So it's interesting how much you have to do in black and white, although it sounds very simple, but there's a lot to be done, because then you're going to see more light. You're going to notice the light more, you know?
And it's funny you were talking about textures. I think that's something I never noticed. You just notice as a punter, you go, oh, this looks right or it looks wrong. And you don't, you're like, oh, there's something off about it. And that's all you can kind of articulate. But actually, you're right. Like when things are wrong, you can see the textures are different and they change and the way the light falls. So it's such a complicated facet it of it that that's one of the things that when it's right, people are like, oh, that's very beautiful. And then most of the credit goes to the DOP person.
That's interesting. Like, of course, I think the colors role, it's been changing like in the past 10 years a lot, you know, like I think there is an importance in that came way, like it was always super important, but it was a mystery before. Like when I started, it was just, there were telescenes, so they were working film footage. And that was so specific niche, like of people that would have the abilities and the knowledge and super expensive equipment. So it was basically almost impossible to become a colorist. And fortunately, when I started, it was just the start of the digital cameras. And that was super important because then it opened like a door. So I was learning from a VFX artist that was becoming a colorist in the post house. And he basically invited me for the grading suite to just like, oh, Leandro, do you want to have a look at color grading? Have you ever thought about it? And because I was an editor at the time, anyway, like in the post house. And then he just showed me what he was capable of doing. And because I always loved photography, I was just pleased. I could not believe how much of a difference was making in an image. And then, and for me, it was such a privilege, like, because he's such a very talented guy, having also VFX knowledge, which was important because then I had another colorist that came to that post house as like a famous colorist in Brazil. So those two guys were working together in a series. And I was the assistant for them. So it was so good because I was learning from a very experienced colorist, very experienced VFX artist, exchanging knowledge because that guy wanted to learn more about VFX things or masks, tracking, like some more specific tools anyway. And the VFX artist wanted to learn more about grading. So they had an agreement and it was an exchange there. And I was just there in the background watching this happening. And again, because there were so many talented cinematographers, director there, was a huge place. I was constantly learning and seeing, like, in a lot of the commercials were still being shot on film. So like a Volkswagen commercial, like really big stuff happening in Brazil. And then, the image was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, incredible. Like the film footage, they would come as a Betacam tape because they had to go through the scanning process, of course. So they would scan the film, have like a flat base. That's why we call the digital flat, you know, because that's the way they named before. So that flat would go in a tape. We would receive that capture and then grade from there. And the quality was absurd, absurd. Film has something that's really special. And I love digital because I think it's getting there as well. Like it's crazy. Like the new RE35 that was launched recently enough. Anyway, I recently worked in a short that uses that camera and it's very special. You can tell like it's so good. So I always liked the film footage as well because I came from that start, you know, and then when the digital cameras started coming in, it was just the red one. The first red camera was the first digital camera launches. And it was complicated. It was very complicated to work from because nobody knew exactly. Like, and again, you're in Brazil. You're not like an English-speaking country. So whatever you got to learn, you got to really craft.
You can't just look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. At that time, there weren't any tutorials. There weren't anybody doing that. It was very, very... specific, you know, like some colorists you would learn from other people, you wouldn't learn from the internet or courses. So nowadays they're way more knowledge spread, which is wonderful. So Yeah, but very interesting. So the red one was very challenging because then the camera, it wasn't that great, you know, like it was amazing because it was the first digital camera, and kudos to the guys in red because they did a wonderful job starting that era. But yeah, it was very hard, very hard, very hard for VFX artists as well, because the blue channel of the camera was really low in resolution. It would have a lot of noise basically. So for a VFX person, because they need to do tracking in the image, they need to replace things sometimes, it was hard for them, you know, like there was like a learning curve that we all went through it. But again, people were eager to use those. And then the Canon 5D was so interesting, like, because then the Canons came, and then a lot of commercials they would shoot either in film or in reds, and then they would also have some extra shot on a Canon camera. So it was very challenging to match those two, because then the Canon texture was so different, was so clean, and definition was much less definition, of course, but it was the start, you know. So we were all going crazy, you know, trying to work with all these formats. And then for as well clients and agencies as well in commercials, for them to understand what they were seeing, because they were looking at a flat image from red, and that image was so milky and washed, and they could think that was actually the image that they shot, and it wasn't. It was just the camera giving you all the spectrum of all the range of colors that you needed to grade from. So then that's why flat, you know, then you grade from there. Then you can bring all the colors that the camera has, and it's giving you as a possibility, you know.
And what's the future then of coloring, of grading? What is the future? Has streaming changed much? The fact that things are now being designed to be seen on a smaller screen, has the demands changed? And then is there anything on the horizon that might change it further?
Yeah, I look there, like it changes constantly. And the thing is, streaming made a difference for sure. I think TVs are getting better now, as in giving you a much more accurate colors for. So TVs now have the Netflix calibration. So when you turn on Netflix, it's going to get a certain calibration. So it's going to be much better for colorists, because now people are actually going to watch it. Something that's similar. iPads, iPhones, they're all great. You know, they have really good screens. They are HDR capable. So that's another thing that's very particular, but it's something that's happening more and more, like a HDR color space. So that's, it's just, it expands. Basically, we always worked in SDR color space, which is a standard dynamic range. And then high dynamic range is HDR. So what happens is you have more range of colors and more range of light, you know, like as in brightness to work from. So yeah, that's a very important step for grading. But it gets a bit complicated for like to be understand, for people to understand what it is exactly. But that's happening. And all the TVs are becoming all HDR, you know. So and the streaming, which is what is great, is when you deliver something, you're delivering files like to Netflix or Amazon. And what happened is they are doing the conversions to their streaming platforms. And they have like engineers that do that, because there's basically like more than 60 types of files that they have to produce. It's crazy. It's amazing. Like when you hear about that, you're like, oh man, thank Christ there's somebody that's really doing that, because they do go through a specifics of the signal that they receive, if I'm not wrong. It's just like for that TV, you know. So then Netflix is going to give the best file for that TV. If you have a full HD TV or an ultra HD TV with HDR capabilities, you're always going to get the signal that they understand you need, which is crazy. Like, so for a colorist, I think it's getting better, to be fair. It's getting better. People are actually seeing better image at home, you know. Yes, and seeing the work. I think cinema was always great, and cinema, it's superb, you know, like when you watch any digital work, like wrapped the Storyland we went to watch yesterday in the Lighthouse. And I was pleased because it always looks really close to my monitor. It's so good. The digital projector, like, yeah, it's great. It's like, that was a massive thing because before we film was much more complex. You would grade, you had to send back to be printed to create a master for that. And yeah, that was much more complex. You had to have your monitor matching to the results of that printing. So you're combining a chemical, like a laboratory level of like the exposure and everything to the monitor you have in the grading suite. And that was super challenging. So I think in that regard, I think a lot of people were happy with the digital air because it made that parts of the process easier. But again, film is coming back, like, which I'm really enjoying. Film is really coming back. I think Cannes Festival had so many 35 film footage in the feature films there. And they were posting constantly, like, a shot on Kodak 35. So that's really great. I'm happy with that SLC. I'm happy because, okay, digital is going technology, but people are eager to go back to film as well and have that experience. And I do incentivize like directors, cinematographers to work a project in film. You have much more constraints, you know, like you can't just fire the camera, you know, like you would really need to be careful because it costs way more. But definitely there's a learning process in that regard. You're going to have to be much more careful with what you're shooting. You have to really rehearse scenes, you know, like in the sense that you're going to get less takes. But then the result is brilliant. I worked in the short film with Lachlan McKenna, the Two for the Roads, and they won Goa Festival this year. And it was shot on film, 16 millimeter, gorgeous. Like, I really enjoyed it. And such a beautiful piece. And film brings something to the image, you know, that digital, there's a difference there. There's a difference in the way our eyes can perceive things. So film, it is always going to have something different. It's always going to be more organic, more alive, you know.
Yeah, back to the classics. Yeah. That's the thing. But yeah. Thank you so much. I actually have about 8 more questions, but I'm not going to ask them because it's far too long. You have to get back to your grading. But that's fascinating. Right. Like, it's great to have that insight and learn a little bit more about the process and about what you guys do. Just if anyone's looking for a project, how can they contact you?
You can definitely reach out to me, like at Reagan, my Instagram as well, but Kira Walsh, the head of facilities, for sure. Kira at Reagan.ie. And just to contact us and then we can discuss the project, even if it's in a pre-production level, because that's becoming a thing. So, of course, Color is participating beforehand and we can prep LUTs for the DP when they're going the shooting. So at least they have something that's much more towards what they want. So that's a different thing as well that's happening more and more, you know, like we're in an earlier stage and sounds as well, of course, like just having discussions before.
Brilliant. And that's it prepped. But thank you so much for chatting with us. That was brilliant.
Thank you so much, Jeremiah. It was a pleasure.